Let's go to the Bible, to Colossians 3, 23, 24. We're talking, man, Pastor Luis, that was a great message last Sunday. How to organize your life. Proverbs. Today we're going to talk about how to win at work. How many of you guys have a regular job, or you are in a team of people around you? Anybody has a regular job? You work? Just a few guys work here. I know everybody kind of works. We're going to talk today how the Bible is full of wisdom. And let me tell you something. What I love about God is this. One of the things that I love so much about Him. He finds us where we are in every aspect of our lives. And He doesn't find us to slap us around, kick us around, push us around, and make us look and feel like the worst person in the world. He finds us where we are, and through His Word, He wants to transform us so we can be a bigger blessing to the people around Him and walk closer to Him. So I'm going to talk about some stuff today that has to do a lot with relationship, at work, at home, and all this stuff. And anybody ever feels like the worst worker or the worst mom in the world, the worst husband in the world, the worst Christian in the world? God is working in our lives, and He wants to find us where we are. And so here, talking about how to win at work, how to win at work. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Is it there? All righty. Let's all read it together. How about you guys just burn 5 calories with me and all stand up with me today? And I'm not the only one getting skinny here. No, that's not the truth. I need to fast more. Colossians 3 says, let's go together. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. One more time, the last part. And that the master you are serving is Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word. Lord, even if it is mom or dad, authority at work, at church, whatever it is, we have a higher boss, a higher master in every aspect of our lives, Lord, and that is you, Jesus Christ. Help us, God, in whatever we do. We ask you that you would just take away all the thoughts that come from pride, from the world, from hurt, from our sinful nature, and we will put those to the submission of the Word of God, the Word of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody says, amen. You may be seated. Jesus spent 90% of His life not in ministry, you are full time. If you look at the time, Jesus, He was almost for sure, I can tell you, He was until the age of 30, He was what? A carpenter. Do we need carpenters in this world? Yes. They did not have all the technology in the university and everybody's moving to somewhere else to get a job. They stayed at home because for thousands and thousands of years, until like 200 or 300 years ago, where everything started changing, everybody did the same thing. Farmers, ranchers, carpenters, they built pottery. They did the basic few jobs in the world. Fishermen, whatever they were. So Jesus was a carpenter. And I believe that Jesus did the will of God His whole entire life. Amen? He wasn't out of the will of God till 30, and then He started His ministry, and now He is doing the will of God. Most likely at the age of 12, 15, 16, He started working with His father as a carpenter. Now, imagine, I was thinking, I go crazy sometimes, you know, I'm thinking, after He died, He was the Messiah, and He became so tremendously famous, I wonder if His chairs and His tables became a Picasso. You know what I'm saying? But He was a great carpenter. The Bible says at the age of 12 that he was walking with the favor. We talked about that two Sundays ago. He had the favor of God and people. You cannot have the favor of people if you're the worst carpenter in town. Are you following me here? Some people sometimes are the worst workers at their job, and that is not Christ-like. Can I have an amen on that? Ooh, I thought it was going to be a little stronger. So Jesus spends 90% of his life training to be a carpenter. This little boy, he's looking at his father, how he builds stuff. And Jesus was always doing the will of God. So what I'm saying, if you're a carpenter, if you clean houses, if you sell stuff, if you do whatever you do, you have to know that you are doing the will of God exactly like Jesus did his whole life and like I do as a pastor and whatever else. Because God needs good carpenters. Amen? God needs good people who builds houses. God needs good people in the stores. God needs good people behind computers. God needs good people in schools. God needs good Christians all over the world. Amen. In fact, he puts you where you are with not only a check money purpose, but he puts you where you are with an eternal purpose to touch other people's life. And so when the Bible says, in whatever you do, do it, work how? Work willingly. That's one of the secrets to succeed at work as a Christian. You got to work how?
Willingly.
This is not willingly. Talking trash about everybody, not submitting to your boss. No, the Bible says that in that the master you are serving is who? Is who? Christ. When you go to work tomorrow, who are you serving over the master of your boss? You have another boss over your boss. Is that what the Bible says?
Yes.
When you go to work tomorrow, Jesus is waiting for you at work. Are you going to show up late? Because Jesus is your boss, not Mr. Whoever. Are you going to steal from work? Are you going to spend as much time you can hiding behind the boxes? Are you going to spend most of the time you can playing on your phone and watching videos and on social media? Because Jesus is your boss. You're working for who? For who? Come on, preacher. I'm going to say if you don't say it. Listen. Not only Jesus is looking at you at work, but everybody else is looking. And did you dare let them know that you are a Christian? And you spend more time on social media than they do. Are you following me here? It's just going to get better. To win at work, whatever you do, when Katie asked me if I can help with the cleaning of the house, mopping the floor is my least favorite thing. I always like wake up in the morning and say, God, please ask her to ask me to do the kitchen. You know, I love cleaning the kitchen. No, I don't do that. But the problem we have when we go to school, when we work under mom, we work under a boss, we are not looking at it. I am a Christian serving Jesus here. And the Bible says, if you put one more time, please, that scripture. I want you to see something here in this scripture of Colossians. The Lord will give you a what? As your? A lot of what you do at work is going to be one day rewarded in heaven. I say it one more time. All the time you spend stealing from your boss, talking trash, not working, and doing everything that you would not want your workers to do if you would be the boss. The Lord says in his holy word, that one day in heaven, he will reward you in everything you do, even when mama asks you to take the trash outside.
Amen.
In everything you do, even if your wife asks you if you can this week mop the floors. How do I do that? So it's important that we look at Proverbs because the Proverbs is full of wisdom, of what the wise does, and what the wise does is not what the fool person does. Wise goes up, and the fool goes down. Question. If you have the best basketball player in the world, who is it? Kobe Bryant. Some say Michael Jordan. Some say Magic Johnson. Some say Shaquille O'Neal. Whatever. You have the best basketball in the world. Put the best basketball in the world against any United States high school basketball team of 16, 17-year-old kids. Put the superstar against any high school basketball team. Who is going to win time after time after time after time? Who is going to win? Who is going to win? Five kids playing against one guy who has to do a run, get it, defend, do everything. One star against a basketball team of five kids. Who is going to win all the time? The team. Why? Because in this universe, let me tell you something. God put a principle, and the principle is teams get a lot more done than one superstar. We have 15 some months, a regular month, we have 12 kids' church services done Sundays in 1 month in this church. 12. Three services times four. In Argentina, they teach me three times four is how much? 12. Now, you get one superstar who has to do kids' church three times alone every Sunday, and you put a team. It's about 19 or 20 people who does kids' church here in 1 month, all divided in teams. Why is God a God of teams? Because in teams is where he is going to challenge you to grow and mature. Long, high-use silvers, long rangers. That's why you have church. That's why you have families. That's why if you're a single person and you really want to grow and mature, get married. Have a couple kids. Get a team somewhere in your life, and you're going to get challenged. So the first point of my message today is to win at work, be a humble player. Say it with me. Be a humble player. We are all about pride. We are all prideful. None here is a very, very humble person. Maybe you think you are. If you think you are already there, right there, you're not humble. You and I struggle with pride. And if you have ever been in a family, in a relationship, or working in a team of people in a job, let me tell you, the great majority of the problems we have at work is because one reason, the prideful, sinful nature of our fallen nature. It's pride. Human beings are all about pride. Proverbs 3:7 says, don't be impressed. This is the prideful. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. That sounds like prideful or what? Impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Most of our problems at home, in relationships, at work, is because we are not impressed maybe with our wisdom, but we are very secure that what I think and the way I do things and the way I grow up and the way I think is the right way. And God says, do not be impressed with your own wisdom. Do not be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Amen. When the Bible says fear the Lord, he's saying again something. Put authority in your life. Number one authority should be who in your life? Who? God. People who does not have God as authority in their life, they do not fear the Lord. They don't care what the Bible says. They don't care about anything but just what they want to do. Authority is a godly thing. You having, listen, a bossy boss, a not so nice maybe mom or dad is not the worst thing in the world. It might be a very godly thing because he's trying to work in an area of your life that you struggle. If you have authority in your life, if you honor the authority of God over your life, God will bless you. Tell the person next to you, if you are a Christian, you are not in authority. Tell the person next to you, if you are a Christian, you're not in authority. You know why you sin? Because you are in authority in that moment. You take authority over the Word of God and you sin. You become authority. If you are a Christian, you are not in authority. If you work for somebody, let me tell you something. You are not the authority at your job. Are you here with me? Yes. If you have a mother or a father, you are not in authority at home. I know it hurts us to hear those things, but the Bible says that we struggle with authority so much. And that's why I'm telling you, we are not about being humble, because you are not an authority. None of us is humble. Anybody seen disagreements at work? Let me see your hand. Fights at home. Show me two humble people who gets in fight. Never two humble people gets in horrible fights. It's always the prideful against the prideful. Humble people don't get into huge arguments and they want to win everything. We are all about being pride. The pride marches. When was the last time that you saw a bunch of people walking down the street and saying, we are doing a humble march? We are the problem. Do you know where? Did you see? Humble is what? Is wise. Pride is what? Is what? Fool. God is humble. Being humble is godly. Being prideful is satanic. Why did the devil rebel in heaven? Because he was so humble? That's why God had to kick him out. That's why there is people who get kicked out of work, kicked out of families. Some people even feel like they are kicked out of churches. Because in the presence of God Almighty, humbleness cannot inhabit. That's why God said, this guy is so full of pride, and he influenced all this. In my presence, there is no pride. You try to go and enter the presence of the Lord in worship with a prideful heart. What do you require to become a Christian? The first thing is to be humble, to recognize you're a sinner. Amen? You cannot experience the presence of God. Can I just preach to you today? There is Christians who used to pray, get in the Word of God, and be so close to the Lord, and they cannot experience that anymore because pride came in, and pride does not, cannot be in God's presence. You cannot get revelation from the Word of God if you come to the Word of God with pride. If you come with a humble heart. So it's all about being a humble player. Proverbs 3:34 said, the Lord mocks the mockers, but he is gracious to the what? The humble. God honors humble people. Humble people say, I need help. That's what the Bible says in Matthew. It says, blessed are those who are hungry, because God will satisfy them. Amen. A humble person is never hungry for help. When I was a teenager, I never asked anybody to help me or anybody to give me any advice. But as I grew and matured in life, I understood that wisdom comes from wise people, not from my own mind. So at work, if you struggle at work, ask yourself, Lord, is this a pride problem in my heart or not? Be a humble player. The Bible says, the Lord mocks the mocker, but he's gracious to the humble. You will know that you are growing and maturing in life the more you say, can you help me here? When I got married, I thought I was the smartest married man in the world. Like Pastor Luis last week made me laugh, you know. The first year was the toughest. I wonder if the first 10 or 15 years of my marriage was the toughest for Katie. But then I found out that I was doing stuff that was hurting my relationship with Katie tremendously, and I had to go to get counseling and advice. Let me tell you something. I'm going to shoot it straight to you. If you are in marriage problem and you are not willing to get counseling, you are being what? Because you are not willing to humble yourself and say, I need help.
Amen.
And the prideful will be destroyed, the Bible says, and hurt tremendously because he is so prideful. God is gracious to the humble. Proverbs 27:18. The one who guards a fig tree will eat his fruit, and whoever protects their master will be honored. What? Does the Bible says that I have to look for the interest of my master? Yes, absolutely. And it's talking about work. It's talking about a fig tree. It's talking about production. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say be a humble player? We live in a world that if this is not super convenient for me, I am out of here. If I don't like everything here, I am out of here. Did you know how many people change jobs time after 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 time? One of the reasons is they are not looking to protect the interest of the master. This can go to a home. Kids who don't care about what the parents want for the house, to clean, to cook, what happens is rebellion inside of us. If you're constantly thinking, that pastor is the dumbest guy in the world, I could have a way better church than him. The first part might be truth, but when you are saying, I'm going to do everything to hurt that ministry, that is not wise. And the Bible says we have to look for the interest of who? Of who? Of our masters.
Amen.
Of our bosses. Of the people that give us the check at the end of the week. Proverbs 11:17 says, those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel brings ruins on themselves. Who is kind is what? Wise. Whoever is cruel is what? Fool. The Lord spoke to me because I struggle with this. And I'm going to tell you, masters who are cruel. Cruel masters are micromanagers. Can I say cruel parents are micromanagers too? Can I say cruel pastors are micromanagers also? The cruel person does not care about anything but themselves. Micromanaging is a form of abuse. God wants us to be good teachers. Was Jesus a micromanager? No. Did you know, and I'm going to get into here something the Lord speaks to me all the time. Did you know that Jesus knew everything? Agree with me? He knew everything. That he knew that Judas was stealing from the bag all the time? Now, I'm not saying that whatever, do whatever they want, and there is no order, there is no vision, there is nothing going on. Everything is a mess. I'm not saying that. But micromanaging is the extreme. And so cruel masters, if you are kind, you will honor people over money. The cruel always values money over people. The cruel person always values what he wants, and it is to make more and more and more money. And I'm not saying, again, let anybody do whatever they want. I'm talking about when you are a cruel person, you don't consider the reality and the situation of people. I'm not saying let them miss work for 2 weeks and still pay them and don't even talk to them and say, yeah, good for you. You did not come to work all week long and I'm going to pay. No, I'm not saying those extremes. I'm talking about being cruel and value more money over people. Listen, my friends, there is marriages who have finished and families who are completely destroyed because there is somebody there that is valuing money or what they want over that person. Are you following me here? And that is not wise. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. You can see the development of maturity in a person as they seek for counseling. Like I told you, I never asked for advice when I was a teenager. And now that I get older, I ask for advice all the time. Not because I knew everything back then. I thought I knew everything back there, and I don't know anything here. I think I know more now than 20 or 30 years ago in my life. The difference is I want to become more wise. So if I don't know how to fix something as a pastor, as a father, in my marriage, I do what the Bible says. I look for what? For advice. Because wise people surround themselves with what? With how many? Many advisors. So when was the last time you asked for wisdom from somebody? When was the last time? A few months ago, the Lord told me, you need to understand that you need the people around you. Now, that it doesn't sound very humble. I always thought, God is going to do it. God is going to fix it, you know. If Katie wants to leave me, that's okay. God will provide another wife. No way, Jose. If the kids want to leave me, God's going to provide another 4 kids. No way, Jose. If I want to do whatever, no. When you do whatever, you become a what? A fool. But when you are a wise person, you look for advice and wisdom for others who have been down the road that you are right now. So look at the person next to you and tell them, don't be a fool. Seek advice. Seek wisdom. Seek for help. Again, don't be a fool. Seek for help. Seek for advice. Don't be a fool. Be a humble player. The second point, be relationally smart. Being humble is important. But be relationally smart. Proverbs 14, 16 to 17 says, the wise fear the Lord and what? Shun evil. They have authority in their life. It's not them, it's God. But a fool is what? A fool is what? Hot-headed. And yet feels secure. Isn't that now growing to the level of stupidity? is full, says whatever one, gets mad, is hot-headed, and feels secure. A quick-tempered person does foolish things. Here the Bible talks about hot-headed, reckless, quick-tempered, foolish. And the news is these people are in our working teams. Maybe you are that one. These people are in our working teams, and they are not relationally smart. You have a fool at home, a fool mom, a fool dad, a fool kid, a fool staff member. They always know it all. They don't look for advice. They don't look for help. They hot temper. They quick to get mad. And they bring lots and lots of problems. Amen. Eventually, they might get fired. Proverbs 19:26. Whoever robs their father and drives out their mother is a child who brings what? Shame and disgrace. When you're going to hire somebody, look at how they treat the people at the house. Because at home, we are who we really are. Here at church, we all look nice. You guys all take showers. Some of you guys shaved. Put your best clothes, put your best deodorant. You got your Bible, and you're coming into church. But at home this afternoon, when somebody says, we're not going to watch your favorite program, we're going to watch another program on TV, now the reality of the real person is going to come out. And so the Bible says, whoever robs the father and drives out the mother is a child. Something in my throat brings shame and disgrace. I'm all about giving people opportunity. But one of the first things that is hard to give people opportunity when they are treating the people in the house badly, it's hard then. It's hard when they are cruel with everybody at home. Proverbs 28:15. Here is micromanaging again. Like a roaring lion or a charging bear is a wicked ruler over a helpless people. That can be mom, that can be dad, that can be a pastor, that can be a boss. Like a roaring lion or a charging bear is a wicked ruler. Micromanagers make you feel like that. Anybody had a micromanager boss in their life? Yeah, I know you did probably. That's how it feels. And that is ungodly. Proverbs 11:13. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person, what? Keeps a secret. Another relationally smart team player does not betray what? Confidence. I have a huge issue with that, with the people that works in this church. It's not my news. If you ask me, are you pregnant, Pastor Christian? I would tell you, no, I'm not. Stop asking that. But if it's not my news, is she pregnant? What are they doing? Are they divorcing? Are they going to counseling? Are they going to another church? What's going on with that daughter? What's going on with that? Listen, ask that person. The problem is that you are a big gossiper. Woo! The problem is you're a big gossiper, and your tongue is so long that you, instead of stepping on your shoelaces, you step on your own tongue. You got to know everything. Not because you want to pray, it's because you're a gossiper. And it is not my news. It's Katie's news that she is pregnant. No, I'm just joking. Are you following me here? Be relationally smart. Proverbs 28:23. In the end, people appreciate honest, this is one of my favorites, honest criticisms far more than flattery. In the end, people appreciate honest criticism far more than flattery. If you are looking for people who just says, yeah, you're so right all the time, and never challenges you to grow, to change, and to mature, you don't have a friend as a friend. You have a flatter as a friend. Can I say that again? We live in a time and generation where we want to say, do, be immature, be sarcastic, be mean, be cruel, and we want everybody just to say, but the moment I tell you, you are full of hurt, you're full of unforgiveness, you're full of pride, then I'm not your friend anymore. But in the end, the only people who helps you is the one who gives you what? Honest criticism. How many of you guys love your mom and your dad? That they gave you honest criticism in their lives, or what? But some people drives away the pastors, the parents, the bosses, the people at work, because they are saying, maybe you have to forgive this person. Maybe you have to stop talking trash about this person. Maybe you have to be a little more kind. Maybe you have to show up at time. Maybe you have to stop talking bad about your boss. Maybe you have to work a little harder. Are you following me here? They're not your friends. They are flatterers. They are flatterers. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. The hot-tempered person is what? Say it with me, is? Fool. But what? The patient is wise. Anybody has thermostat fights at work or at home? What's the perfect temperature after 6 o'clock? At 12 in the morning. You know what I'm talking about? Temperature problems, when you have to set the thermostat. Anybody here experience that at home? Thermostat problems. Katie is the first one. She's going to follow the church. She wants to pick up her legs. Everybody in my house has a different idea about the thermostat setup. It is... If you get too hot-headed over that thermostat thing, that little plastic thing is going to fly out of there pretty soon. Have you been there? Here is now for all those who have social media here. Let me see your hands. Here's one that you have to read every day before you check social media. So if you check social media 20 times a day, you should read this scripture every time. Here it goes. Proverbs 17:14. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Now we officially have a way to start fights, and that's called Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. Jesus loves people, but what about puppies? And what about cats? And what about dogs? You know what I'm saying? We start fighting over the dumbest thing in the world. The guys on the donkey, the guys on the elephant. It is crazy. It is crazy how we get into the dumbest argument if cats are better than dogs, and we lose people, friends, and relationship, and we are just the bunch of dummers of the dummy because, let me tell you, if you want to fight on Facebook all day long, I'm just going to say it, you are not a wise person because you're not going to win anything or change anything over your 200 friends. You just fall of yourself, and you're so wise in your own opinion. Aren't you glad you came today? This third point, be a driven person. First, be humble. Second, be relationally smart. Third, be a driven person. Proverbs 16:26, the appetite of laborers works for them. The hunger drives them on. The appetite of labors works for them. The hunger drives them on. If you are the only one who is paying all the bills at home, I bet you're going to think twice before you quit that job because you are hungry. It's good to be hungry. It's good to be in need because that is going to make you a driven person. But if your spouse does a good check, then you're going to have all the reasons in the world to quit your job and change every 6 months or every 2 years because the bills can be paid by somebody else. Are you following me here? You're not hungry. You're not driven. Nothing pushes you. Somebody else is going to do it. That's the beauty of being in leadership. Hans, where is Hans? He's an intern now in ministry. I'm telling him stuff that, boy, when you are in leadership, every buck ends on you, my son. Every buck ends on you. When you are a mom, when you are a father, but when you are not smart, not humble, and not driven, and somebody else is going to clean the house, and somebody else is going to pay the bills, you can have the luxury of having all the issues in the world. Can I have an amen on that? Didn't sound very spiritual. Just kidding. Proverbs 10:4. Lazy people are soon what? Are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. Proverbs 14:23. All hard working brings what? A profit. But merely tack leads only to what? To poverty. I know people who likes to talk. Ooh, they like to talk. They like to talk at church, like to talk at home, they like to talk at work, like to talk at the store, like to talk in the street. They talking all the time. Some of them are not very hard workers. Some are. But some are always just talking about the next thing they're going to do. The next church they're going to go, the next job they're going to get, the next marriage they're going to be, the next thing they're going to, they're talking about themselves, the kids, the family, their friends, everybody. But you want to get a check, you need to do what? Work. You need to work. Proverbs 19:22. I love this one. Those who work their land will have what? Those who talk, no, those who work their land will have abundant food. But those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. Have you heard about pay your mortgage in 3 years? You can become a millionaire in 6 months. Just get into this. Have you heard about the pyramid system of making? It's a bunch of baloney. Go to the casino. A faithful, verse 20, a faithful person, not one who is chasing fantasies, will be richly blessed. But one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. To show partiality is not good, yet a person will do wrong for a piece of bread. Because people who does wrong at work is because they don't want to work. Because a hard worker will stay there and will get paid. And if they lose that job, somebody else is going to hire because they are a hard worker. When you're not a hard worker, then you're going to start hurting others so you can have a piece of food in your table. Verse 22, the stingy are eager to get rich and are unaware that poverty awaits them. Have you seen the movie of the, I always thought that the Sahara Desert was the biggest desert in the world. I think there is bigger deserts in the world. Now I found out. And the other day somebody told me that the biggest desert in the world is the bottom of the ocean. And so the whole thing is going crazy. But let me tell you, have you ever seen a movie where the guy who is in the desert and he is chasing a mirage? There is people in this world that are always chasing a mirage. Quick, fast, riches. Pay a mortgage in 3 years. Become a millionaire in 6 months. Be super rich over 12 months. How many of you guys lost 40 pounds in 21 days? The world is full of fantasies. In 21 days, you can get super fit. Baloney. You might lose a few pounds, but get super fit and look from this to have a washing board in 21 days is impossible. It's a mirage. The Bible says you have to be faithful. You got to be a driven person, a hungry person. So, you got to be humble. Amen. But if you're only humble, and relationally you are dumb, and you're not driven, and you're very lazy, it's not going to work for you. You're just going to be the nice guy that is going to be there for a couple of weeks working. You're very, very humble. But now, if you're very relationally smart, and everybody loves you, and you're the party of the place, but you are very prideful, and you don't like to work, nobody's going to respect you, and you're going to be the party of the job for a couple weeks or a couple months, and then you're going to get also what? Fire. Nobody respects you because you're prideful. Nobody respects you. Nobody likes you because you're hiding behind the boxes. But you are such a relationally smart person, which is important, but it's not the whole package. If you are nothing but a hard worker, maybe somebody can identify with that, and just a hard worker, you are a bulldozer, and you're going to be hurting everybody all the time around you. Amen? Amen. You're not relationally smart. You're not humble. You just think you are the last and best worker that God ever put on the face of the earth, and you're going to make feel everybody crazy, and you're going to be with the whip. So you got to be driven, but also you have to be what? Relationally smart, but you also have to be humble. But listen, it all starts with God being in authority in your life. Because if God is not in authority in your life, what the Bible says, it makes no difference for your life. Would you close your eyes right there where you are this morning? Some in this room struggle with authority, some with pride, some with gossip, some with laziness, some with all, we all struggle. We all struggle, hot temper, all this stuff. But I want to ask you this morning, have you put God as the authority over every area of your life? If he's not authority and he's not number one in every area of your life, I want to invite you this morning to accept Jesus into your heart. And would you just repeat after me, say, and everybody can pray with me, say, Father God, I need you. I need your forgiveness, your wisdom, your grace, your Holy Spirit in my life. Please, Jesus, come into my life and make me a new person. Guide me through your word, not my own wisdom, just your word. Amen and amen. God bless you.